34 minutes after the hour, coming up in the about a half an hour from now, we're going to talk with Walter Olson, a libertarian view on restoring the guardrails of democracy. But right now, Deborah Greenhut is with us, PhD, I might add. Life with a hoarder. I'm not sure. I may be on the verge of being a hoarder, Jake. I'm not sure if I am. I mean, I've still got room to walk around the house, pretty much unobstructed, but I got stuff I haven't looked at in years. Deborah, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good, Gary. Thanks very much for having me today.
So were you married to a hoarder?
I was.
And hence the hoarder's wife.
Correct. The book is a novel based on my experience of living with a hoarder for 35 years.
And did you ever fix it? Did he ever stop hoarding?
No, unfortunately, he wasn't able to get help. And at the time when we were trying to fix it, there were different ideas about what caused hoarding or how to fix it. And the things we tried just didn't work.
Well, that is, I cannot imagine the challenges. Did you like throw things out, and would he bring them back? What was life like?
Well, that was one thing that happened, and that I would throw something out, and it didn't matter if it was food or something he seemed to be collecting. He would go out into the garbage and bring it back in the house. So there wasn't anything that came in that he wanted to let go out again. So it was very frustrating and difficult. And eventually it was very difficult to walk around our house. And I will tell you that the five senses are pretty much assaulted by hoarding. And things smell pretty bad. And there's a danger of falling all the time. And it's a pretty sad life.
Do they know today what I mean, because is it environmental? Is it psychological, some kind of chemical imbalance? Do we know what causes?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I think at the time when we were trying to repair things, which wasn't so long ago, but earlier in the 2000s, it was looked at as a subset of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and didn't receive as much attention. It was believed that you could cure it with cognitive behavioral therapy and not much else, and they didn't see any psychological basis to it. But in 2013, it became reclassified as a disorder of its own. And while much of the information about how to work with it now is on the IOCDF, the International OCD Foundation.org website, because that's where the discussions began, it is not looked at as an aspect of OCD anymore. It's looked at as possibly most likely related to some trauma that was suffered by a person earlier in their life, or could be triggered by the death of a loved one or a separation or divorce. So they've done a kind of 180 on whether psychotherapy would be helpful, and now they actually do incorporate it.
That's interesting and hopefully promising.
I hope so, too. I always felt that was missing from the kind of treatment that my husband was receiving, but we had been told we were speaking with the experts at the time, and that they didn't think that was necessary.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I'm a hoarder. What I think I am is lazy. I have boxes of stuff. When you work in radio, you tend to move, and you throw everything in a box, and you load it on a truck, and you go someplace, and then sometimes it's temporary, and you don't have enough room to unload everything, and then you need something, and you have to go out and buy another one of what you've got somewhere in a box, and the next thing you know it, you get outfit a second house. But if I weren't lazy, I would find a way to get the stuff out. But your husband wasn't interested in that.
No, and actually, hoarding doesn't come on full-blown right away, or the designation. It's understood that there are about five levels of hoarding, starting with basic collecting, possibly, and finally winding up at that fifth level where your house is impassable and nothing gets repaired, and things are pretty much falling apart. So in the middle somewhere might be where there is some opportunity for psychological counseling, but simple collecting, especially if it's maintained neatly, is not viewed as hoarding. And certainly your life circumstances while you're actively at work might prevent you from sorting through things and cleaning them up. The problem becomes when you're older, if you really don't feel like doing it, because then you have the hoard.
If somebody comes in and cleans the place out, do they just start all over again?
Yes. Recidivism is almost guaranteed, and even treatments that do improve some people, they say current treatments can improve people about 60 or 80% of people, but that's only a 30% improvement in the problem, so it doesn't completely cure it. And I found whenever I threw something out, my husband would go back and get more. And we finally had to fill, I think, 4 industrial-sized dumpsters to empty out the house after he died.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss, but I am curious. You know, you were dealing with this. It's unsanitary. I'm sure there was food that was turning into little green fuzzballs, and I imagine boxes of stuff. And why did you stay?
Well, that was the question that prompted me to write the book. I really had to go back through journals that I kept and think about things that had happened. And I don't know if I have a very clear reason, but I looked at my past life and my childhood, and one of the things I found was that I was really programmed to be a giver and to be a helper from the very beginning. And so my faith that people could change and that something could be done here was really important to me. But there did come a point when my husband's anger got out of control, because often there's a lot of depression that goes along with this, and I knew I couldn't stay with him anymore, so I did leave. And my husband actually died by suicide about 4 years after that.
I am so sorry.
Thank you.
So it's not like an addiction. You know, for instance, if he were an alcoholic and you said, "That's it, I'm leaving," he might hit bottom, realize that it's his hoarding, or in the case of an alcoholic, his drinking, that's making his life miserable, and then go get help. It's not like that with hoarding.
Well, it could be like that, but generally the hoarder can't recognize that there's a problem with the behavior. It's not. Some do, and it depends probably what level people are on, whether they can recognize it or not. But it's not that you have to give up your things as well as your security and your worldview. And I know that alcohol and other addictions can provide some of that too, but it doesn't seem to respond to logic in any way, even though my children and I suffered a lot of shame because we couldn't bring anyone home, or if the doorbell rang, there's doorbell shame that seems to come from most families who are living with hoarding, and you know, the fear that someone will come in and see this. And it's very difficult to unhook from all of that, and the hoarder really doesn't see it. They accumulate things, but they may not even look at them again ever. And there will be huge piles of shoes around our house, which was not the worst of it, I guess, but the food was tossed into those piles, empty food containers and things like that, and he just could not stop himself. And at a certain point, the anger that he was expressing just became too much for me, and that was when I realized I had to go. But that I didn't want to leave my children in a lurch. I didn't want to ruin my family. So there were a lot of factors that led me to stay there. But I think most of all, I believed I could help him, and that was wrong.
If you just turned the radio on, Deborah Greenhunt is with us, PhD, Life of the Hoarder. Her book is The Hoarder's Wife. And it's kind of loosely based on you, right? And your life with him.
Yes, it is. Yes, I changed some things for various privacy reasons for my family, but the story is genuine and it's true.
I was going to ask you about what it's like if we throw an occasional cocktail party and people come over to the house, and you just pointed out you can't do that.
Right. Socializing became very difficult. Even just to have a family dinner together became difficult. My husband would not clear off chairs so that my kids could sit down somewhere when they came back to visit, and eventually they wouldn't bring their girlfriends or spouses to our house. So we were starting to lose connection with them, and that once they were my adult children, that worried me greatly, and I didn't want to give that up.
When they were kids, did they have, like, their room, and it was clean and, unimpacted? Or was he storing stuff in their bedrooms?
He would try to take over closets as often as he could, or say that one of us didn't need that much room, and sometimes compel us to give up, a third of a closet or a half a closet. But mostly it was their own things, and they didn't have to share, so they did have their own space, and they've both grown up to be pretty careful about how clean their space is. Not obsessively clean, but they don't like clutter.
So it had an impact on them into their adult life, it seems to me. Wow.
Yes, it doesn't go away. It's really traumatic for the people who are living with it, which is something I've had to learn in my own life, that it does affect me. I want a clean house, and I will do what I can to get that.
So it's social. It's got a social impact. You can't have people over. It's unsanitary. You see these shows on TV. I don't know if you've seen these shows about hoarding on TV. Do you ever watch those, or is that just like a traumatic memory you don't want to go?
Well, I've watched them to see how the subject was handled, and the interesting thing for me was that there's often a spouse or a girlfriend or boyfriend who's standing by looking helpless, and the shows don't really go into that very much. So that was another reason for writing the book, that there's a whole other experience there that is not really considered, and I think that's where, to heal this, we have to look at the whole family and try to help the hoarder partner as well. Hoarder families are at least twice as likely to go through a divorce, and in those families, it is five times as likely that a hoarder is going to die by suicide. So it's really a huge problem, and I felt that those shows only look at the sensationalism of the hoard itself, which is awful.
The hoarder's wife, Dr. Deborah Greenan. If I read your book, or if somebody suspects their spouse is a hoarder and they read your book, will they get some information about how to identify it, or whether or not they really are living with somebody who's, like me, just lazy or a real hoarder?
Well, that's a good question. What I tried to do was show the progression from my husband being a very cluttered person, how he showed up with a car full of clutter on our first date, and somehow I just ignored that. I'm not an extremely neat person, or I wasn't before, so I think I passed it off as because he was a professor, he was absent-minded, and things were always flying around, and I was able to accept that until it started to become very difficult to get through a day in the house with all of the clutter around. So I tried to show the stages of that, and I guess the climax for me was my husband also procrastinated a great deal, and one time he just couldn't finish our taxes, and he didn't seem to be able to do anything about it. He went out and bought himself a kayak and went for a ride on a river behind us, and instead of doing that, and I started looking through the tarpaulins that he'd covered up piles of mail and piles of stuff with, and I found unpaid bills, uncashed checks, and that's when I hit the roof, because I finally had to confront what was actually happening in front of my face.
You hit the roof or hit the road?
I didn't hit the road then. I structured a plan. I gave him some time, and he couldn't do any of it. And then a couple of years later, I couldn't do it anymore.
Oh, man. It just sounds like such a tough row to hoe. And I don't even know how I don't even know how my wife puts up with me, but I'm nowhere near that bad. I'm the one who throws the food out. When did you write the book? How long has it been out?
The book came out April of this year, and I think it took me about 2 years altogether to write it, because I wrote a memoir first, and then I decided I wanted to fictionalize it. So I revised it as a novel, and that was the second year.
Well, I hope that people go out and buy your book, if for nothing else, because it's a novel and it could be entertaining, but it also seems like it would be a great guide for people who suspect they're living with a hoarder. Dr. Greenhut, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. You're listening to the USA Radio Daily.